The matriarch indicated a brocaded couch with gilt-edged legs. Wooden legs. And Raylakon had no trees. "Let us sit," she said in her terrifyingly rich voice. My knowledge of how to behave with royalty was exactly zilch. However, the Majda matriarch also served as one of the joint commanders in charge of the Skolian military, specifically the general of the Pharaoh's army. And she had used my military title, though I had been out of the army for years. Military protocol I could handle. So I said, "Thank you, General." She inclined her head, accepting the title. I sat on the couch and she settled on a wing chair. A table with red and gold mosaics stood between us. Majda crossed her long legs and light glinted on her polished knee boots. "Would you care for a drink?" she asked. "I have a bit of Khazar brandy." "Seriously? I'd give a decade of life for genuine Khazar." I said only, "Thank you, yes." Majda touched the scrolled arm on her chair. A circle the size of her fingertip glowed blue, but nothing else happened. Then we sat. I had no idea what to do with the silence. She would set the conversation. So I waited, racking my brain for what I knew about the Majdas. 5 millennia ago, the Ruby Dynasty had reigned over an empire led by the Ruby Pharaoh, who was also matriarch of the House of Skolia. Although the elected assembly ruled the imperialate now instead of the dynasty, the Skolia still wielded substantial power. After the Skolias, the Majdas were the most influential house. They no longer ruled Raylakon. In these modern times, their empire was financial. They controlled more wealth than the combined governments of entire planets. They also controlled a significant portion of the military. During the Ruby Empire, the House of Majda had supplied generals to the Pharaoh's army. Today, they dominated the two largest branches of the Imperial Space Command, the Army and the Imperial Fleet. Majda women served as officers. Only the women. Of all the noble houses, Majda adhered most to the old ways. They kept their princes secluded, never seen by any women outside the family. A man in dark clothes entered the room carrying a tray with 2 crystal tumblers. Gold liquid sparkled in them. He set the tray on the table and bowed to Majda. The general inclined her head. "Thank you." He left as silently as he had come. I stared after him. No one had human servants anymore. Robots were less expensive, more reliable, and required less upkeep. Majda indicated the tumblers to me. "Please, be my guest." We both took our glasses. The brandy swirled in my mouth, went down like ambrosia, and detonated when it hit bottom. Saints almighty. I sat up straighter. The nanomeds in my body would keep me sober, but gods, with brandy like this, I was tempted to get drunk. "That's good," I said, ever the master of understatement. Majda sipped her drink. "You have an interesting reputation, Major Bajan." "You've a job for me, I take it." "A discreet job." Discretion was my specialty. No messes. "Of course." "I need to find someone." She considered me. "I'm told you are the best there is for such searches and that you know cries." "I grew up here." I had no wish to remember my youth. I had lived in the Undercity, deep below the gleaming city of cries, a dust rat surviving on my wits, my ability to steal, and my sheer cussed refusal to let poverty kill me. I knew cries in ways no Majda could understand. Before she could bring up any more about my past, I changed the subject. "I'll need to see all the details you can give me about this person and how she disappeared. Hollows, mesh access, traits, everything on her habits and friends." "You will have the information." Her voice hardened. "Be certain you never misuse it."